Won't it be wonderful there when we can walk and talk with the King? That would indeed be a great day. You know, in my younger years, I was an individual who had very few friends. In fact, I was that one friend guy. And as a result, the kids that were in the places where I lived, they had birthday parties, they had pool parties, they had just get-togethers, and not one time, as a young boy growing up, not one time was I ever invited. It was just that kind of a life. I joined the Boy Scouts at 10 years old, but at 10, that lasted only less than a year because my dad moved again. He moved almost every single year of my life until I became a young adult. Moving was a regular thing for us. And when that happens, it's really hard to make friends. You don't even learn the skills to make friends. And I didn't know anybody. And it's not a good feeling. It was a terrible thing for me growing up. When you're left out of all the things that you see other people doing. When you're the last one picked, you know, for the team. And I knew that these other young people, they didn't want me around. You know that. You could feel that. I knew that they were happier if I just left. They didn't have to deal with me. And I saw the joy in their faces as they would greet each other in the hallways and on the playgrounds and just around. I saw that joy. The ones that were always picked, the ones that always had friends, they were always compassed with people around them. And that was the worldly kind of joy, though. I cried a lot. And I think some of that's still with me. My wife will tell you I could cry at the drop of a pin. And I never really got over that. Of course, when I got older, I had associations with jobs and with people in my work and so on. But they never invited me. It was just work. I never had anybody that I could depend on. Never had anybody that was strong enough to take me under their wing. I heard a preacher at Brown Street, Bob Dickey, one time talking about his father and the man that mentored him, and I cried because I never had that. I never had anybody that wouldn't leave me. But then there came a day, and someone came along. And they said to me, "Come to me. I'll give you rest." That's what Jesus said to me. Write to me. He didn't come to my room and talk to me. He didn't follow me and catch me in an alley and talk to me. But He told me when I was reading His Word, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest." He said that to me. It was made for me. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and I am lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls." He said that to me. And He went on to say, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I knew right then and there that Jesus could take my troubles, He could take my sorrows, and He could be my friend. And I wanted that. I longed for that. What an invitation. What joy there is in hearing those words of the Lord and knowing that they were meant for you. What hope. What comfort. And most of all, what a release. And boy, I'll tell you, release. I finally was a part of something with someone other than myself. I was finally able to feel someone was with me. Someone would never leave me. No matter where I went, no matter what I did, no matter what, He would never, never leave my side. Now I had a friend who would be with me to help me, to comfort me, to love me, to listen to me, and to genuinely care for me in a way that no one else could possibly care. And the result of all that, the result, the outcome, is for the first time in my life, I had rest for my soul just like He promised. My burdens were lifted. My anxieties with all the world and the troubles, they were just gone. They were gone. And I'm not talking about miracles here. I'm talking about trusting in the Word of God who says to me, "Come to me, I will give you rest," believing it, and He did. One moment changed my entire life. The rest of the feelings of inadequacy or worthlessness, they were gone. I had rest from the life of violence. I was a violent person. You would not have liked me. I've said that before. Rest from hatred that I held in my heart for and with guilt for the things that I thought about other people that I carried so long with me. He took it away. It was gone. This tender invitation from somebody a lot more humble than me. Yet, that change of life came from a friend named Jesus. Jesus. And I would like to, tonight, talk about a few things that lead up to the salvation of my soul. And can do the same for you. Number one, Jesus speaks to those who are burdened. Through His Word, through the message that we hear, whether it be preached or whether it be read, He speaks to those who are carrying burdens. In Romans chapter 3 and 23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We cannot escape the fact that we're sinners. And anyone who's honest with themselves knows they're a sinner. And there is always a burden with that understanding. Yes, I was a good person. I was the same kind of guy in that sense that I would pull off the side of the road and help anybody for anything, anytime, anywhere. I was the kind of guy that always wanted to help the neighbor. Always wanted to mow the grass of the elderly lady next door. I was a good guy. But I was a sinner and I knew it. And you cannot deny that. Because it's true. You can pretend it's not true. And you can dwell on how good you are. But listen, you're a sinner. And you need the invitation of Jesus. And you need to accept it. Because He can carry all those sins away. We all fall short of the glory of God. James says that whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point of the law is guilty of all. We're sinners. We cannot do it on our own. You know, Isaiah in chapter 48, verse 22 says, "There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked." In Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, nor is His ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities." And I'm talking about me. My iniquity separated me from a relationship with God. But it didn't stop God from seeking me. Our sins have hidden His face from us so that He can't hear. But His face is willing and ready in a twinkling of an eye to look you right in the eye and say, "Come." In Titus chapter 3 and 3, we ourselves, we were foolish, we're disobedient, we're deceived, and we deceive ourselves. We were serving the various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. That was me. Was me. In Romans 6 and 23, the end result of sin, the wages of sin is death. That's the result of sin. And we're not talking about dying physically here. We're talking about a spiritual death that lasts forever, separated from God. Jesus has His hand out to you, and He's saying, "Come to Me." And when we refuse that, we're accepting the fact that we will die and without any hope of eternal life with God. It's that simple. Revelation 21 and 8, "The cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, the murderer, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all the liars." And believe me, a lot of that described me. "Will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone." That's the second death that we don't want to face. And in all that, Jesus simply said, "Come to Me, all you that are heavily labor and are heavily laden. Come." You know, when you do finally get this, when it clicks like it did for me, and I want to tell you, my wife can tell you, anybody that ever knew me can tell you, I was one stubborn guy. It's true. I'm still stubborn. I get it in my head to do something, and I'm going to do it. Nothing can stop me except God. If He says to me, "David, that's not right. I read this," I don't do it. We were talking to a sister, Lanisha, tonight about the idea of come as you are. He doesn't want us to continue to walk in sin and as we are. He wants us to grow in faith and admonition, growing and being nurtured by the Word of God. But Jesus offers something to us. If we're just willing to listen, He offers us rest for our souls. He offers us rest from the guilt of sin. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, He came for us and to us." God demonstrated His own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He died so that we could be justified, so that we could be restored in that relationship with our God, so that we could learn to walk the right way. "Take My yoke upon you." He's going to lead you. There's no more worry about if there is a God. There's no more worry about if He's strong enough. There's no more worries because He is. And from the effects of sin. In John chapter 11 and verse 25, Jesus said that I am the resurrection of the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. I heard those words. I believe those words. You should believe those words after hearing them. You should believe because of things that you've heard here and you've heard other places about Jesus being crucified, dead and buried, and that how the disciples ran off and hid here and there. They were just hiding because of fear. And then, for some reason, those same shaky chicken leg disciples walked right up to all the multitudes and preached Jesus. How'd they do that? How does somebody go from being afraid to just preaching Jesus to the same people who killed him? Because they saw Jesus. They saw him alive. They don't have any reason to fear. John writes in Revelation, I heard a voice from heaven. He's real. Anxiety, I mentioned I had that. These are things that change. Our doubt changes to hope because of what Jesus did for us and what He promised. Our anxiety changes to peace because of what Jesus did. He said, peace I will leave with you. And that peace that He gives us is not like the peace that the world gives us. It's not like those kids that I knew when I was young who found great joy and peace in their friends. Because your friends, they die. Your friends, they leave you. They move to another city. Your friends decide they don't like you anymore. And then where's your peace? What do you do when you're laying in your bed as an old person and you know you're going to die? It's appointed unto all men to die. You can't get around that. Go out and take a drive and walk through a funeral graveyard, you're going to die. Say if the Lord comes back, you're going to die. But Jesus can give you peace about that. You can have the mind of the Apostle Paul who said to live is Christ, to die is gain. He takes the anxieties. Paul's sitting in prison. There's a reason to have anxiety. The Roman soldiers are probably going to kill him. There's a reason to have anxiety. And he's singing. There's no anxiety. Jesus can do that. And he can take fear right away from your mind and your heart. And he can turn that fear right into love. Love that is perfected. As the Father loved me, so also Jesus said, I love you. He says, abide in my love. In John, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who has not been made perfect has fear. But you who have been made perfect through Christ, through His blood, you don't have fear. It's replaced. Depression, I had depression. You know, I've said it before. I was a person who tried to commit suicide. I walked out in front of a semi-truck with my eyes closed because of depression. And then along came Jesus. And He said, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. That's Jesus. Those are things that He can do. He can take doubt and turn it to hope, anxiety to peace, fear to love, and depression to joy. If you just come. He says, I will give you rest. You will find rest for your souls just because you came. There's just absolutely no sensible reason not to come. Stubbornness, that's not a reason. There just isn't one. These things he spoke. What Jesus requires in return. You know, there has to be reciprocation here. Jesus says, come to me. Isaiah says, incline your ear, come to me, and your soul, or your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. And this covenant is according to the sure mercies of David. On that day, the Bible tells us, Jesus, this day of a great feast, and he stood out and he was crying to those who were there, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Take my yoke upon you, he says. That means you become his disciple. You just follow his teaching. It's not hard. But I'll tell you what, it's life-changing. It's fulfilling. And it's power. Jesus said, we also need to learn from him. In Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. He wants us to learn of him continually. And then he wants us to go out and teach others, which is a joy in itself. To see somebody that has anxiety, to see somebody with depression, to see somebody wrapped up in alcoholism, to see somebody wrapped up in pornography, the homosexuality, adultery, and to be able to tell them about Jesus and help them find the right path. Nothing better. It's a joy. And that's what we reciprocate in kind when Jesus requires that in return for all the great things he's done for us. Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. And he went on to say, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free from anxiety, free from hate, free from depression, free from worry, free from loneliness. That's what he said. My yoke is easy, he said. The love of God, we keep his commandments. It's not a hard thing to do. He says, this is the love of God, that you keep his commandments. His commandments are not burdensome. His yoke is easy. That was what he said. Come, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. He didn't lie. He led me right out of all that stuff. Just like many of you. He didn't lie. He makes it easy. It's not a big deal to just say yes. Get them feet moving. Walk up. Take the invitation of Jesus. Because he makes it really easy. The hard thing is to continue on in faith. That's what he wants us to do. He says, my burden is light. You know, Paul wrote to the Philippians, my burden, he says, therefore, beloved, as I have always obeyed in my presence and not much more in my absence, how work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. It's God who works in you both to do his will and for his good pleasure. You see, God's doing the work. You just make the decision. God does the work. He's the one with the power. He's the one that created all things through the Son, Jesus. He's the one that said, let there be light, and there was light. He's the one that fed the Israelites in the desert with manna, provided water from a rock. parted the seas.
Do you think it's a hard thing for God to save you? Just reach out that hand.
Get them feet moving. You see, His burden's light. He has all the strength of God. And He can make it easy for us. He wants us to be light bearers, not bearing down under the light. He gives you the power. He gives you the Spirit through the Word. And He lifts you up. And He gives you the ability to do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's what God does. We must become disciples of Christ. That's what He requires of us. He's not asking that much. He just says, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's what He said. Not hard. We show up to worship God. That's not hard. That's a great joy. We talked about that this morning. That's not hard. We sing songs. That's not hard. We pray. That's not hard. We teach and preach. That's not hard. We take the Lord's Supper. That's not hard. It's a joy. We give of our means. It's a joy. Listen, it's not hard to be a disciple of Christ. Yeah, there's going to be persecutions. People are going to mock you and be mean to you. Maybe you'll even lose some friends. But believe me, when Jesus is your friend, that's not hard. It's not hard. What's hard is going through life day by day, week by week, year by year, getting closer and closer to death, knowing you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ. And knowing that once you die, there is no second chance. There is no coming back. And you've wasted everything. That's what's hard. When you have that inkling inside of you saying, I know I need to do this, but I say, throw it out the window. Because it's not hard. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So how do we accept this invitation from the Lord? The Lord says, come unto me. I will give you rest. How do you accept that invitation? It begins with your baptism. You've heard the gospel. Then we need to be baptized. Go therefore, we read that before, in all the nations, making disciples of men. Baptizing them. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. It's not hard. For the remission of sins is why we're baptized. Acts 2:38, when they asked Peter, what must we do? Peter answered with, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins. When Paul recanted his baptism, he said that Ananias told him to get up. Is that too hard? Get up? The older you get, it gets harder, right? Is that true? I'm not that old yet. I told Andy 70 was old because my sister's 70. He says, you think 70's old? But the older you get, the harder it is to get up. Don't get to a point where you're so old that you can't get up. But he told Ananias, told Paul, why are you tarrying? What are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized, calling upon the name of the Lord, washing away your sins. Or washing away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. The Lord who's calling you, even now. Raising up, rising up to a newness of life. Romans 6:3-4. We're baptized, buried, and dead with Christ. And by the very power of God, we're brought up out of that baptism, out of that water, having come in contact with the blood of Christ to walk a new life. A life without anxiety. A life without fear. A life with hope. With joy. With peace. And with the love of God, knowing that one day the Lord's going to take you right off of this planet I'm going to destroy this world and everything in it. Take everything that didn't come to Him, throw it into hell, and take you right on up to heaven and deliver you right into the hands of the Father. That's not hard for Him. And all you have to do is come. And it continues with learning. Of course, Matthew 28:20, teach them, He said. Teach them. So we learn and then we're baptized and then we become disciples and then we teach them. And they learn and they become baptized and they become disciples and then they teach them. That's the way it's worked since the very beginning of the church. And that teaching comes through the doctrine of the apostles. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 42. You know, those who gladly received the word, what happened? They were baptized that day, about 3,000 souls. They added, God added them to the body of Christ, to the church. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. It's not hard. But listen, the word has been preached. That word is jumping off these pages right now. It's jumping right at you and it's saying, come! Come! That's what the word is saying. That's what Jesus is saying. And then you're baptized. He adds you to the church, to the body of Christ. And then you just continue in the doctrine. And you grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ. And to Him be all the glory both now and forever. Amen. Will you accept the Savior's tender invitation? I guess I'm a fool for Christ. Because I knew I was a sinner. And it took a long time to accept it. But I did. And I'm hoping you will this day. Will you accept His invitation? Will you come forward this night and be baptized? It's not hard. It is not hard. There are a lot of things in this world that are hard. I helped my son put siding on his house last year. It's hard. It's a lot of work. I replaced windows and walls, repaired floors, put in a new wood floor in his living kitchen, and he had a big kitchen. It's hard. Well, I'll tell you what, being baptized into Christ is the easiest thing you'll ever do compared to putting in a wood floor. Will you do that today? We have a song of invitation, song number 844. I pray and hope you'll accept His invitation as we stand and as we sing.